Good morning. Welcome to Divine Shepherd for this fourth Sunday in Easter. Starting off, thanks for everyone that came out yesterday for cleaning the church up. Looks great. So appreciate all your guys' time and effort doing that. A couple other things, of course, the announcement sheets are in the back on the table. Hopefully everyone grabbed one of those. A couple things that aren't in there. Lutheran Witness, there's about 10 copies that are back in the back, right there at the front. If you are interested in there, those are free copies for anyone in the congregation to take and borrow and bring back and or take and just have at your house as well. So please use that as a reference. A couple other important dates coming up next weekend. Kirk Funeral Home is going to have a session in the morning from 10 to 11, going over all kinds of planning. Also a diaper drive, not too early to start gathering some of that stuff up. May 1st through the 31st, we'll be taking that in the back. Also looking at Vacation Bible School coming up June 3rd through the 7th. So not too early to get that on the radar as well. With that, we'll get going here shortly. Thank you.
Rejoice, and again I say it, rejoice. It isn't quite rejoice today, but today is Jubilate Sunday. It is a rejoicing, a joy that we have in the church that the world can't take away from us. And there are a few things that the world can't take away from us. It can't take away faith, and it can't take away the joy that gives to us. Pastor will be preaching on the John text today all about that joy. Our order of service today as we gather is Divine Service Setting 3 on page 184. We have that extra hymn right after the gospel reading for today as well, 469, 1 through 3. And then right before the prayers, right after the sermon, we will invite all of our officers, our elected officers up, and we will install the officers this morning. So even if you are currently serving, please come up. And again, we hear those words of why we do what we do and the importance that we have, the important job we have as a congregation of praying for our leaders, those who serve us in the church. With that, we rejoice as we gather today. Our first hymn, number 685. Thank you. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the promise of your Savior given to you. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Alleluia. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Alleluia. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip? Shout for joy to God, all the earth, alleluia. Sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise, alleluia. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world God on high. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth, so that they might return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted to the fellowship of Christ Church, that they might avoid whatever is contrary to their confession, and follow all such things as are pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Jubilate Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Every youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Catechetical for review for today is in your bulletin in the center. We read together the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. The epistle reading for today from 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Would you please stand with me as you are able as we read the words of our Christian faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I would ask the kids to come down front and join me this morning. I just need to go grab my stool. I'll be right back. Well, how's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, good. It's a beautiful day. It's good to see you guys in church this morning. So I'm going to show you a series of pictures this morning. That's where we're going to start. So this one may surprise you a little bit, but let's start with this one. What's happening here? Yeah, how do you guys usually feel on Christmas morning?
Excited.
You excited? You think, can you feel any more excited and more joyful, you think, on Christmas morning, opening all those presents? What do you think? It's like the day that kind of, you just can't wait for every year, right? Christmas and all the gift giving and all those things? No? Okay. Okay. How about this one? What's happening here?
Birthday.
Yeah, same kind of deal, right? Get to celebrate your birthday, and looks like there's gift giving, there's cake, all that kind of stuff, right?
Party hats.
Party hats, yeah. Party hats, that's a big part of that, yep. All right. So what do we have here? So I've been showing you things that give us joy. Let's take a look at this picture. Yeah, what about that? Jesus dying on the cross. I wonder how that gives us joy. So, in our text today, Jesus told the disciples in the Gospel of John, he told his disciples that he was going to go away. And they didn't understand what he was saying by that, and it made them very sorrowful. That means very sad. Now, do we know what Jesus meant when he was telling the disciples that he was going to go away, Elizabeth?
He was going to die on the cross for our sins.
That's exactly right. He was telling them that he was going to die on the cross for their sins. And they didn't understand that. And Jesus said this kind of real interesting thing to them, because he said, in a little while you will not see me. And then again in a little while and you will see me. Now, what was he talking about there? What was he saying there?
He rose back from the dead.
That's exactly right. He rose back. He rose again from the dead. And so the disciples would have the greatest joy when they saw their resurrected Jesus coming back from the dead. Now, Jesus also told the disciples in there, he said that the joy that you have, no one will ever be able to take this from you. Now, you guys come over here to the baptismal font for a minute. When he claimed you and made you as his own in the waters of your baptism, and you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he made you his own. You are his dear child. And you know, this gives us the greatest joy. This is better than Christmas presents. This is better than anything that we can experience in this life, because we know that Jesus has forgiven us our sins, and he promises to be with us always, all of our lives. This is joy. And you know what else? He promises that he's going to come back for us someday. He promises that he will return. Does Jesus keep his promises?
Yes.
Yes, he sure does. He died on the cross so that you and I could be saved. He rose again so we could have those promises delivered to us here in the waters of our baptism. And he promises that he's going to come back for us. And he says, the joy that you have, no one's ever going to be able to take that from you. And the joy that you and I will have, it's just like we can't imagine when we will see our Savior face to face someday and see the one that suffered and died for us and rose again for us. So here's a picture of... here's Jesus after he's risen from the dead and he appears to his disciples, okay, as he promised. And then he's going to come back again someday, and we're going to see we're going to see our resurrected Savior as he promised. This is unspeakable joy. That means I can't even describe it, what that's going to feel like, what that's going to be like. Jesus loves us, and he promises to always be with us. Shall we pray? Dear Jesus,
you've given us joy
that the world cannot understand.
Thank you for making us your own.
And claiming us as your own
in the waters of our baptism.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thanks, guys. You can go back to your seats. We continue with our sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the name of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I would say it's probably fair to say that we're not very good at goodbyes, are we? On this side of eternity, there's so many things that we deal with in this life, and having to say goodbyes, depart with somebody, is not an easy thing to do. We could call it other things, too, when people are apart, separation anxiety, and all of those kind of things. But we don't like it because we were never meant to be separated from those that we love. An example of this is when you go into the airport sometimes, larger airports, I might say, you'll see people saying goodbye to one another when someone's leaving and they're having to get on the plane. And you watch those scenes play out, it can be kind of gut-wrenching, especially when you see members of the military that are being deployed for a year or more and they have to leave their family behind to go serve on the other side of the world in a foreign nation, leaving leaving their family behind. This is very difficult. Many of us here this morning have also experienced the sorrow and the anguish of saying goodbye to someone we love as their life is slowly taken from them and they pass from death into eternal life. This is always difficult for us, dear saints. Well, my sermon text for today is John 16, verses 16 through 22 here. And we see Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples. In fact, he's doing this in John here, and we know this as the farewell discourse, chapters 13 through 17, where Jesus has his prayer in there, where he prays for his children. He's saying goodbye throughout this part of the gospel here, as he gets closer to the time of his passion. Well, shortly before this reading today that we see in the gospel, we see that Jesus had been telling them, again, he must go away, but he said that this is to your benefit, for he said, I will send the Comforter to you. But they didn't understand. For such sorrow had filled their hearts, and they were afraid to ask Jesus what he meant with these words, what he meant by his going away. And here in our text for today, he begins with these words, a little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Again, they don't ask him what he means by this, but they remain in a state of confusion and despair. After all, they'd now been with Jesus for a year and a half, 2 years, maybe more, and many of them are probably thinking this is never going to end. They're going to be with Jesus, with him for the rest of their lives. This was a great thing. It was a good thing. And yet he says he's going away, and they don't want to ask him about what he's saying. It upsets them so much that they just don't understand. And yet Jesus tells them this. He says this sorrow that they will experience is only temporary. He tells them this. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. The world, that is, his opponents, the Pharisees, the scribes, others, they will rejoice, thinking they've finally gotten rid of this blasphemer, thinking that by killing him and burying him in the tomb, out of sight, out of mind, they made him go away. Jesus goes on with the disciples here. By way of explanation, he uses this example of giving birth. And he says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So it will be with them. Their anguish, their discomfort and pain, it's only temporary. And this will all fade away in light of when they see the resurrected Savior. But they don't understand and comprehend on this side. They will begin, they'll get it after Jesus rises from the dead. Jesus comforts them further with these words, so also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. These words of comfort for the disciples, dear saints, are words of comfort and hope for us as well today as his disciples. While living the life of a Christian is full of sorrows and joys, could we agree on that? And I would say the balance seems to be sometimes tipped more in the favor of more sorrows, the suffering, afflictions, the trials and tribulations of this life. Sufferings in mind, such as depression, all of these kind of things, body, our spirit, we're afflicted in every way possible. Certainly, this includes ailments and diseases of our bodies, but we also experience the sorrows of broken relationships, the dysfunction in our families. Having to live with the sorrow and grief of losing someone we love. Having here in this life, having to face the reality of death. Then it goes on that the things that we constantly see in social media and elsewhere that are undermined and driven by fear. Sometimes you may look at some of these things and you get so frightened that you think, I'd rather just go crawl under a rock and make all of these things go away. There's constant fear of violence, of war, the instability of our economy, the world's economy. We desire to live as faithful Christians in a world that is hostile to God and seems to be, with each passing day, even more so. We're sorrowful when we think that since we haven't seen Jesus, that he's kind of checked out on us. He's out of sight, out of mind. And we don't think in this mess that we live in that he doesn't care about us when we're miserable in our sinful lives. Well, it's fair to describe these temporary sorrows in this life as Jesus tells the disciples here today and to us in John, these are birth pangs. The pain, the discomfort, it's only temporary. For just like a mother, after having given birth, forgets all the travails of her labor, so it is with us. As Jesus told the disciples that they would see him again and that their sorrow would be turned into joy, so it is with us. And saints, now that Jesus has ascended to the Father, we know that he will return, and we await that great day on this side of eternity. And because he has ascended, as he promised the disciples earlier there in John, we have the gift of the promised Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. This is the comforter who leads us in all things and continues to strengthen our faith. And we can rejoice in this because he has ascended to the Father. He is seated at the right hand of God. The devil has been defeated. Our warfare has ended. He's defeated our foe. Rejoice. Rejoice, dear saints. Because soon all of the warfare of this existence here on earth will be over. These sufferings and sorrows, they're just temporary. Rejoice over the fact that he has won victory for you. We'd like to have him as a God sometimes that comes into our world just to fix everything that's wrong with us. It doesn't seem to work that way. Rather, he's the God that came to save. He came to rescue us. He is with us right in the middle of the messes that we're in the puddles of life, all of the things that we suffer and go through. And rejoice this morning that he took upon himself all of your sins. He took all of them to the cross, suffering and dying for them there. For you, for all of you, he died for what you were incapable of doing. God keeps all of his promises according to his word, promising that he would save us. He's made known his salvation to us through his Holy Spirit. And we see and know Jesus as the Son of God, our Savior. And we are filled with joy, which continues to last as long as his presence is with us, which is to the end of time. And he promises he will return on the last day. Jesus keeps his promises. He's not abandoned us. And in this sense, we do see Jesus, even though we've never beheld him with our own eyes yet, for we see him in his word. We certainly see him in baptism, in the Holy Supper, these signs of the church and these means of grace, which continue to give you and I great comfort and hope. knowing that he is with us always, as he promised. Jesus says, a little while and you will see me. Great words of comfort, great words of hope. Yet a little while and we will see him. He will return. He's coming back. There will come a day when this temporal will all give way to the eternal. We can't imagine this unspeakable joy which we will experience when you and I will see our Savior with our own eyes. That great and glorious day, we will rejoice. And Jesus said, no one will take that joy from you. Looking upon the one who delivered and saved us from the curse of death and sin. The day of resurrection, that great and glorious day when our bodies will rise from the dead and we will go to be with our Lord. The joy that we experience today, knowing that we are baptized, forgiven saints, cannot be taken away from us as we live in our baptismal lives until that last day when we will see our Lord. This is the joy that leads to everlasting life and hope in him. In the name of our resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ, amen.
Please stand as we sing together the offertory.
Right Spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. invite all of our newly elected officers and all of our current serving officers to please join me. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establishes various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the Church follows the example of the early Christian Church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said to them, "It is not right that we should give up preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, pick out from yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle, "As each one received a gift, use it to serve another as good stewards of God's various grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You all have been elected and appointed to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. You are to work with the pastors that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of the young and the old, and the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of this congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourself by word and example to be faithful to him in service and in Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises spoken by these men and women who you've selected as officers at Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of your abilities that God has given to you so that he might be glorified and the work would be done in our midst? If so, then answer by saying, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your office, that you might be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of all people. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out their task, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here in all places under heaven the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm not sure that everyone knows who you are and what office you're serving in. Trent, would you begin just by introducing yourself and the rest of the officers, and then tell us what service you're providing for our Lord? God bless you all in your service to our Lord and your service to our congregation. We will, as we just said, keep you in our prayers in the faithful work that God is doing. Thank you for serving Divine Shepherd and your Lord. You may be seated. Please stand as we come before our Savior with our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Father of glory, your power is great in heaven, and your deeds of salvation resound in the earth. Bring your enemies to repentance, that they may join the praises of the faithful. Lord, in your mercy. We pray this day, dear Father, that you would continue to provide leaders for your church. We thank you for those who serve us not only in Divine Shepherd, but also in the churches large. We pray that you would continue to uphold Matthew, Scott, David, Randy, Dennis, and Albert. We ask this day, dear Father, that you would prepare the hearts and lives of those in both seminaries for call day and vicarage placement this week. We ask that you would bless Morgan and Amelia and Kelsey, that their vicarage would be a time of joy and great learning. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you knit your people together, young and old, into one church. Enrich our wisdom and strengthen our steps toward your heavenly kingdom, where we will know you as we are fully known, and receive your saving power. Lord, in your mercy. We ask, dear Father, you would continue to bless the mission and the ministry at Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. Especially, Father, we ask that you would bless our Early Childhood Center and our Academy. We pray, dear Father, as you have provided such rich gifts to both of these schools, that you would also provide students for us, that we may teach them of the hope and the promise and the joy that we have of being your children. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, you rested on the seventh day after your work of creating, and your Son fulfilled that day by his rest in the grave. Give us diligent in our daily labors and holy devotion to observe the day of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you have appointed the authorities of this world for our good. Direct their hearts and minds to rule according to your will. Give us faith in your heavenly authority, which will not permit the righteous to be moved. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you promise strength in place of weakness and endurance to those who wait on you. Heal the ills of your servant, especially Tracy and Joy, Daryl and Glenda. Be with Ron and Joel, Gunner, Pastor Bertel, Leanne, June, Jim, Wally and Marlene, Deanna, Marna, Rob, Emily, Dave and Sherry, Ashley, Dana, Colleen, Connie, Linda, Willa, Jenny and Warren. And bring us past all of our sorrow to the heavenly glory that we receive in you, Lord, in your mercy. Father, strengthen those who mourn and the families that mourn, especially the family and friends of Barry Severson, Becky and Mel and Bobby Geidel and their family, the Fisk family, the Wempen and the Frost families, Tim Heath and his family. Give them hope and joy, dear Father, even in the midst of sorrow, that our Savior lives and those who die in faith rise to be with him. We celebrate today the baptismal birthday of Monica Leans and ask that you would continue to bless her and help her to live in joy in her baptism as well. Father, give joy in the midst of sorrow here at the sacrament of the altar. Grant us repentance, a firm faith, and a united confession that we may have honest fellowship in the blessings of Christ's testament. With consensus thus cleansed from evil and renewed in you, enable us to stand undaunted until the day of our visitation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are the Father of all good. Bless us now with these thy gifts and supply for us whatever you know that we need. All of this and whatever else we need, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. By his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory
forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do as often as ye eat it, in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please be seated.
This is the Christ. Thank you.
Please stand as we continue with the Nuctamentis. Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Just a couple of announcements. Bible study in the back. We're jumping into the Lord's Prayer today. The introduction, first and second petitions. And how many of you took poinsettias home? There are Easter lilies over there that would make a great host with your poinsettia. They have served us well. If you plant them, they'll continue to grow. They're perennial. They'll come back next year. They'll blossom somewhere along the line. Please feel free to help yourself to those and plant them in your garden. Go in His peace.